Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all, and welcome to the Navy TOV Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 24th of July, 2017 at 1500 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. We do have quite a few participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you are only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Hearing your names. As a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will hand it back over to Jeff Newman.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. This is Jeff Newman for the transcript. I will note that there are some people that are out today due to the IGF in the U.S. In Washington, D.C., held today, IGF USA. So Aubrey is there today, and so that leaves me chairing this meeting. And if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see the agenda, which will start with a statement of interest update, going through the work track updates, a short recap of ICANN 59 and geographic names at the top level, and then we'll get into some substance on a couple of the drafting team assignments that we're actually taking as a full group for now, but may decide based on interest to break that up again into drafting teams. Then we will get into any other business. If there is any, I'll ask now. Is there any other business that we should cover? Okay. Seeing none or seeing no hands, nothing on the chat, I will ask, are there any updates to any of the statements of interest that anyone would like to disclose? Okay, I'm seeing a note that says the recording is still paused. Michelle, do we know what's going on with the recording? Okay, the meeting is now being recorded. So I guess I'll start over and just say welcome, everyone, to the July 24th, 2017 meeting of subsequent procedures, the full working group. To summarize where we are, the recording started a couple minutes late, so we've already covered the agenda. We've covered there was no one with any statements of interest update, and right now I will turn it over to Maxine, who has his hand raised.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. Actually, I have a small update about the progress of cross-working group about use of country and territory names. It would take 2 to 3 minutes, and it's any other business, just for information.
Okay, thanks, Maxime. If you don't mind, maybe I'll put that in with when we start talking about geographic names at the top level. We'll go over what happened at ICANN 59, and then I'll turn it over to you or to Annabeth, who's actually posted something in the chat. So we'll come back to that at that point in time, because I think that's probably the best place to cover it. Is there any other AOB? Kavulos, yes, please.
Yes, and AOB, I want to talk about this thing that I have heard. I was absent at the last afternoon, ICANN 59. I heard that there has been discussions, the need to have a separate track for the geographic names. I want to know whether it has been discussed further or not, or where we are, and whether we continue under which track the geographic name. I don't want to mix them up with other issues. For itself, it is sufficiently complex and sufficiently broad, and we need to have really address that in depth. So I just want to know what happened in the last meeting of the public forum with respect to this. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Caruso. We'll go over that as well in item number three.
Okay.
First, I'll do a recap of the other issues, and then we'll get into the geographic names at the top level. So,
okay. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll cover that then. Okay. Any other proposed additions to any other business? Okay. Seeing none. And no updates to SOIs, I think I will turn it over to each of the work tracks, one through four anyway, to give an update of their meetings and their next meeting very briefly. So I'm just looking to see who from work track one would like to give the update. I see Sarah's on here. And, okay, Sarah, thanks.
Yes, this is Sarah Bakke for the record. So we have our call tomorrow, Tuesday at, oh, goodness, I want to say it's 20 UTC. That may be wrong. And we're going to be continuing our discussion of the few responses. We'll be covering application submission period and application queuing. We're also going to be having a brief discussion on the registry letter we received regarding the RSP program. And so that is where we are and what's on our agenda for tomorrow, and I hope those of you who are on that working group can make it.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Work track two, I see Michael, and wow, we got a big attendance. I have to scroll down on my list. Phil is also on. Michael, you're up.
Thanks, Jeff. Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little loud, but yeah, we can hear you.
Let me turn down that microphone. Quieter?
Yep, we're good.
All right. So thank you very much, Jeff. So this week in Work Track 2, we will be kind of summarizing what we talked about in our last meeting, in which we covered the CC2 registry agreements, which was about 2 weeks ago. And this week, while doing that summary and seeing if we can't kind of collect our ideas to move towards our conclusions a little bit, we're going to jump over to CC2 comments for reserve names. Now, just so everybody knows, CC2 comments for reserve names did actually cover the names in the top level, and we did get feedback from individuals in regards to geographic names as well, but any mention or any input in regards to the geographic names in the top level in our CC2 comments will be deferred to Work Track 5 once that gets kicked off. So we'll be covering everything else in regards to reserve names on the top level and the second level coming up this week. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. Caboose has his hand raised. So, Caboose.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I think in ICANN 59, we have been presented, or we were presented by a document, a showman on the geographic name, and there were a lot of comments at that meeting. There was one meeting for GAC, there was a similar meeting for public forum, and in those meetings, several comments were made with respect to the pros and cons of that document. I would like to know whether these comments were taken into account. In particular, some of the question was raised, which was a prerogative of the country in favor of keeping or protecting geographic names, and those questions asking or raising those questions were considered not to be appropriate. I would like to know whether there has been any discussion on that. If you want, I can brief you some of those comments, but if you are sufficiently aware of the situation, please tell me whether anything has been done to remove those deficiencies, problems, difficulties in particular conditions on protection of a geographic name by a country who believes that such geographic name to be protected. Just this question. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Again, I'm going to ask that we discuss that in item number three. We will get to that on the geographic. Work track two right now is dealing with everything but, all the reserve name issues except for the geographic at the top level. So we'll get more into that in item number three. So if I don't answer the question, just bring it up again in item number three if we don't get to it.
Okay, I will do. Thanks.
Okay, great. Okay, work. This is not item three, but this is work track number three on dispute resolution, contention, all that fun stuff. Communities. Karen, please give us an update as to where your group is.
Hi, Jeff. This is Karen. Hope you can hear me. Okay. We had our last call on the 18th, and we started off our CC2 review with objections. We will have our next call on August 1st. God, I can't believe it's August already. And we will be continuing with our review of the CC2 input on the subject of objections. We've got made some pretty good progress so far on legal rights objections and confusingly similarity objections. We're going to hopefully have some more conversation on the list between now and the first on that. But that's what we're working on now is objections and community input. And Robin will be leading the call on the first. I will be on vacation. So hope everybody can join. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Karen. The question from Caruth, please. Yes, Caruth?
Do you hear me, please, now?
Yep, now I hear you.
Okay, sorry. I said that a problem that you have encountered that sometimes, but not all the time, the community objections will have some sort of political motivations rather than technical or administrative. How we could avoid that? Because one or two countries might have, in particular, community, some political influence, they may mobilize the other without any really acceptable ground to object to something. This make it difficult for the people outside that community to detect the origin or source of that motivation, and that will be taken as objections which does not really have any ground. And even if the people asking the string when receive the objection to propose a sort of solution for that, and because of that political motivation, that will be rejected and issue remain as it is. I don't want to give a specific example, unfortunately, but it has happened that sometimes this political motivations may influence or may prevail rather than allowing the normal technical or administrative objections. This is a question that how we could avoid that. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. That's it's a great question, and I think it's also one that if there were certainly any examples that we can, in the past round that we could cite or ones that you can think of may occur, I think that's something that's great for discussion at one of the next Work Track 3 meetings. On this call, we're just kind of going over some updates. They're not really to get too much into the substance of the different work tracks, but certainly we will take note of the question, and Karen's on the call, and Robin will, I'm not sure if Robin's on the call, but let me just take a quick look here down the list. No, but we'll make sure Robin has the those notes, and we'll try to get to that question on the next call, which I think Karen said was on August 1st. And also I would note that Vonda has also said that that was a relevant point and difficult to avoid. And Maxime has said on the chat, I'm not sure the GMSO can influence GAC due to quite different level of power. But certainly a relevant question, I think, in order to give applicants more predictability, it's certainly a question that we need to think about. So, Rubens, is that a question on this, or are you just getting ready for Work Track 4? Work Track 4. So Kavus seems to have a question. Kavus?
Yes, this is a follow-up question. Yep. I'm sorry, I was misunderstood. I never said GNSO take any political against GAC. I was not talking on behalf of GAC. I was as a participant to this group, and I did not refer anything between GNSO as such and GAC. I was referring to the normal application of a name, or and then saying that some group of countries call themselves community. They may, under the community objection, raise that matter. It has nothing to do with GNSO or GAC or with the inter-community or inter-SOAC. That was a general question. I hope it would not be misunderstood or should have not been misunderstood, as Professor Smuckley mentioned. So we have to avoid that. I was not referring to that at all. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Kavus, for the clarification. And I think you're pretty clear on the message, and so we will certainly make sure that it's clear in the notes as well. Any other questions on Work Track 3? Okay, seeing none. Rubens, Work Track 4.
Thank you, Jeff. Rubens here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thanks, Jeff. Last week at Work Track 4, we had some review of CC2 comments, mostly related to IDNs. We have been alternating looking at CC2 and progressing either language or principle discussions that we're having, but some of those are contingent on receiving information from ICANN. Work Track 4 is a very technical track, and most of the information needs to be delivered to us by ICANN organization. So we have been doing some on-demand scheduling, so I can predict right now what we'll be discussing at August 3, which will be our next Work Track 4 meeting, but to be either rehashing the language that we know that needs to be refined, or discussing some principles where we get new information that we can discuss on. Also on Work Track 14, we'll be doing some outreach to some outside ICANN organizations regarding the collisions framework, and some inside ICANN organizations regarding root zone scaling. So we also have those teams in mind, but these will most not be dealt with within our calls unless we get relevant feedback from those our outreach expeditions. So that's it for Work Track 4. Hope you see you all on August 3. Thank you.
Thanks, Rubens. Any questions on Work Track 4? Okay, and then this is actually probably a good lead-in to item number three, which is a recap of ICANN 59, and then also I'll do 3B is kind of a discussion on the next steps on geographic names at the top level. On the regular face-to-face meeting, the tie-in from Ruben's Work Track 4 update is that there was some good discussion at the ICANN meeting on the notion of, well, what if we get more than expected volumes of domain name applications or top-level domain applications? So if everyone recalls, in the first, in the last round in 2012, I think conservatively ICANN estimated that, you know, it would receive only about 500 applications, or that that was thought of as being kind of the highest amount of applications it would receive. That started a whole line of thinking and some root zone study and other information that came out from the SSAC and SSAC 46, which said that there should be a limit of no more than 1,000 top-level domains delegated in any given 12-month period or in any given year. And, you know, that worked well for the first – for the last round, because although we had 1,900 applications for about 1,390 strings, it, you know, between all of the contention sets and the evaluations and objections and everything else, it took longer than a year to process all of those applications. So 1,000 per year did not seem like it would be pose an issue at all. However, now we're hearing things. Again, this is nothing concrete. I've noticed that some people have – there was some domain press on the statements that were made at ICANN 59 that there would be thousands and thousands of applications. None of us know that to be true. However, we do need to – plan for if that were to be true, and therefore we are drafting, we being the leadership team, is going to draft a letter to send to the SSAC, the Root Zone Advisory Committee, sorry, Ruben, there was another committee we said we were going to send it to. I think it was the, so the RSAC, and then I think OCTO, which remind me what that stands for again. The Office of the Chief Technology Officer, so that we would get an update to see if there was a study done by an organization called CDAR, or it's called the CDAR study, and they came out and said there were no issues with the 1,000 name per year rule, and we had no significant impact on the root zone. But the question was not posed as to whether we could do more than 1,000 per year and whether that report would cause the SSAC to revise its thinking in SSAC 46. Otherwise, as the example we used, if we received 25,000 application. Again, that's a big hypothetical. I have no information to think that we will, but if we did, you would have to tell certain applicants, look, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait 25 years before we can put your name into the root, and that probably would not be a acceptable answer to that applicant. So that's one of the updates. There's a question or a comment in the chat. Jeff, please clarify that 1,000 per year issue, as I'm not sure well explained whether that 1,000 application stems from one of the many sources applicants and where that number comes from. Kavuas, there was an root zone study that was done prior to the 2012 round that basically came up with and said that the root zone could handle a large number of additions to the root, but reviewing that study, the ESSAC basically said in ESSAC 46, along with some discussions with the GAC, the board had decided that 1,000 would be the limit, and that would be safe as a conservative estimate. I think everyone at that time, when a 1,000 number limit was thought of, nobody thought there would actually be 1,000 or more applications. So, you know, that will be – that's an issue being discussed right now in Work Track 4, as Ruben said, but we're going to get some official input from the ESSAC to see if it wants to revise its thinking from ESSAC 46 back in 2009 or 2010. But as is on the chat, we don't have any reliable source on potential demand, so we really don't know if we're going to get 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 25,000, or, you know, just less. We have no idea the number of applications. But depending on which mechanism we choose for assessing applications, which we're going to talk about a little later this call, it is going to be an important question that we, if we can, would like to have considered by the ESSAC prior to the next application window. So that's one of the updates. The second update is from the face-to-face was a good discussion on the topic we're going to get to later on, which is how should applications be assessed? Should we do it in rounds? Should we do it first come, first serve? Should we do it in some sort of hybrid? I'm going to save discussion on that topic until number 4 on the agenda, because that's really what I want to spend most of the time on this call talking about. So, you know, of the issues, I think those were probably the most talked about and discussed. And I think the face-to-face meeting that we had in at ICANN 59 was good. I think everyone should go back and read the transcripts. I know there were some conflicting meetings with that. We had some pretty good attendance, but I think there were some other sessions that were conflicting. So the recordings are available, and the transcripts are available, and perhaps ICANN staff could put that into the chat. The other major item, probably the one that most people have been talking about already on this list and on others, was two face-to-face community-wide sessions on discussing geographic names at the top level. The with respect to geographic names at the top level and only the top level, I'm going to leave the second level out because there were certainly discussions at ICANN 59 on that as well. But at the top level, the first session was designed to solicit feedback on a straw person proposal. I'm sorry, it was not a proposal. I knew I would make that mistake again. It was just a straw person document to just really stimulate discussion and get people thinking about the issue of geographic names at the top level. That straw person has no status. That straw person is not going to even be the basis for future discussion at this point. It was, again, just to solicit comments and just to, you know, get everyone talking about the geographic names at the top level issue. One point that was brought out by some participants in the first session was that some participants didn't think that there was an issue and thought that the applicant guidebook had really presented the best possible solution. And so some people advocated at that first meeting that we should not change anything for the upcoming rounds. Now, fast forward to the second session. During the second session, it seems like that notion of keeping the status quo or keeping the applicant guidebook the way it is, I think by the end of the second session, I would say that most of the people that spoke in favor of keeping everything the way it was did at some point realize that there were still questions that needed to be resolved and therefore were open to discussing the issue. Now, there were two parts to the second session. The first part mostly focused on a review of some of the information we had obtained or the facilitators had obtained through some face-to-face meetings with a number of community participants to kind of recap where they thought the different groups felt on different aspects of the issue. The second part of that first half of the session focused on a proposal that Avery and I had made on the creation of a fifth work track five, in which we would invite one person from each of the advisory committees and supporting organizations to serve as a co-leader of that work track in order to promote inclusiveness and to structure as much as we could the work track five very much like a CCWG, but within the GNSO policy development process. That there were, and one other thing was that the proposal basically said that the co-leaders, once they were selected, could then decide amongst themselves how they would conduct the proceedings of that fifth work track. The GNSO PDP, fortunately enough, has a very flexible provisions in it whereby there's a lot of different ways that working groups and sub-working groups can do their work that allows participation from the entire community and even in this case leadership from different members of the community representing different advisory committees and supporting organizations. The result of which is that this week the co-leaders, Avery and I are, and leadership are drafting a invitation letter to the GNSO chair, the GAC chair, the ALAC chair, and the CCNSO chair to help us with the appointment of a co-leader for that fifth work track. That invitation will go out, as I said, this week, and shortly after that, we will do a call for volunteers for the work track five. And hopefully get that work track five started by September, first week of September. And so that's our goal. We'd love to hit that goal. It seems to have been met with some very positive reception from a lot of people in the community. I will say that what Cavus was referring to earlier on is that there were some GAC members during the second face-to-face on the geographic names that expressed some concern over doing this work within the GNSO. They were of the view, particularly Jorge from Switzerland is of the view that this issue on geographic names at the top level is more appropriately done within a CCWG and also is more of an issue for CCTLDs and the GAC as opposed to GNSO. There was a healthy discussion on what is a CCTLD versus what is a GTLD. That issue is far from resolved. But as far as this working group, we are proceeding with discussing issues of geographic names at the top level because it is within our charter. Our charter also had us paying attention to the and incorporating to the extent there were recommendations from any other cross-community working group that was talking about this issue. And I think this is probably a good time to turn it over to Annabeth if she wants to give an update on the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names from their final report to, I believe, this is something that the CCNSO has addressed as well. So, Annabeth, if you could turn on your mic and give us an update, that would be great.
Yes, I will. Just a moment. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Thanks.
Yep, good. Hello, everyone. And I just wanted to follow up what I wrote in the chat that at its meeting the 12th of July last Thursday, the CCNSO Council discussed recommendations in the final paper from the cross-community working groups and adopted the resolutions. But the resolutions, it's two resolutions there. And at the CCNSO members' meeting in Johannesburg, the recommendations of the CCWG were discussed and supported. And unfortunately, we know that we didn't end up with a good result. We couldn't recommend very much, to be honest. The only thing we ended up with was that there was no conclusion to much more than two letter codes. However, the format to continue work is still under community discussion, and awaiting the outcome of that discussion, the CCNSO Council deferred the discussion and adoption of the final paper to the next meeting, and that was the meeting in July 2017. And now, since they have adopted the recommendations in the final paper, the CCNSO Council effectively have closed the cross-community working group and support the need for additional work in the area. So the first resolution was that at this meeting, then CCWG decided to continue work on this area, but the form to continue work, since it's still in the community discussion, we will await the outcome of that discussion. So the decision is that the CCNSO Council adopts the final paper and support the recommendations 1, 2, and 4 in the final report. And the Council also requests the CCNSO appointed members to the CWG to keep the Council abreast of the developments on the next steps. The next resolution is about a letter that it was decided in the study group that was before this cross-community working group. There we had a recommendation from the study group, a letter to the board to request continued exclusion of country and territory names in the subsequent new GTLD round. In September 2014, the study group recommended that in light of the need for further work on the treatment of country and territory names, the complexity of the issue at hand, and the aforementioned inconsistencies between various item policies, it is recommended that the CCNSO Council requests that the ICANN board extend the current rule in the new GTLD applicant guidebook regarding the exclusion of all country and territory names for consecutive rounds in the new GTLD application. However, the resolution is as follows. At the CCNSO members' meeting, since we discussed the recommendations there, included the recommendations of the study group, but as the format to continue work is still under community discussion, and interests of the CCTLD community in future efforts need to be ensured, the CCNSO Council defers the decision whether to send this letter to its August meeting. I request the Secretariat to organize the drafting of such a letter, which includes, at a minimum, consultation of the CCNSO appointed members of the CCCB, WG, and interested councillors. So that's where it stands just now. And now we just await what will happen with the work track 5, so we have time to consider what will happen in the future. If there are any questions about this, I would be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Annabeth. And Maxime has a comment in the chat. It says, "How do we know how Work Track 5 is going to interact with the CCNSO? on matters of geonames at the top level. I will say that, just reiterate that the plan is to invite the CCNSO to obviously participate. Anyone, all PDPs, GNSO PDPs are open, and we will also ask that the CCNSO appoint someone to serve as one of the co-leaders of this work track. So that's what we are going to do from the GNSO perspective, and I guess we'll see what the CCNSO, how they react to that invitation. Hopefully positive. Does anybody else have a question for us? I see Caruth and Anne. Annabeth, why don't you just stay on hold, and we'll see what Caruth and Anne have to say, and perhaps I'll turn it back over to you as well.
Yes, I'm here. Caruth. I'm here.
Great, thanks. Caruth, please. Caruth, I'm not sure if you're on mute. I can't hear you right
yes,
now.
I raised two questions at the beginning of your meeting, and you rightly pointed me toward these agenda items. Now I see people talking the fourth work chat five. Work chat five. What is this work chat five or work chat five? First, before I raise my question, do we have work chat five or do we have work chat five? What are these the definitions or nominations or labelations? Everyone using something. I don't follow. I'm sorry. This is one point. Then the lady presented referred to resolution. What resolution? Who has adopted that resolution? I don't think that I could have any resolution before we address the issue. What resolutions? They say that it included, excluded. I don't understand. And the three questions I raised are still valid. Do we have the work track five to deal with the geographic names all across the whole item? Or we have like today, every SOS, SE, and AC, or some of SO and AC, they have their own separate working, they might have conflict. I think 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago, we discussed and said that would be more appropriate and more valid or efficient to have one single group dealing with this geographic name composing of anyone interested from any SO and AC. This is my first question. Is it somewhere going or is it just spread over many things? GNSO doing this, CSNSO doing that, GAT doing this. So still I am in favor of one single group to do this job under any approach, either chat 5 or anything. But I don't understand the other issue. He says that work chat 5. What is work chat 5? Thank you.
Thanks. Why don't I have Annabeth, why don't you address the resolution issue, and then I'll address the work chat 5.
Yes, that's okay for me. Should I take that first? Annabeth here, for example, for the record. The resolutions are only from the CCNSO Council. It's the cross-community working group on use of country and territory names on the top level was under the regime of the CCNSO. That's why when we didn't finish the way we wanted, there was no actual conclusion in this. We had to stop somewhere to try to put all the different efforts together. As you said, Kavos, it's you have in the GAC discussed geographical names, it's other groups discussing other elements of this, and we in the cross-community working group have only been discussing the use of country and territory names. So it's been a kind of a confusing situation. So what we decided in the CCNSO was that we couldn't come anywhere further in the discussion of the cross-community working group. So that's why we had to adopt the final report, which said exactly that. So now we await what will happen in the next round. I know that there are different views whether we should have a work track 5 as a special combined group where all efforts can be put together, but under the GNSO regime, or others wanted a new cross-community working group. But we have been working in this cross-community working group for many years, and we haven't arrived at the result. So that's why we try to find a new way forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. And so from that, Caruz, the GNSO, the group that chartered this particular policy development process, included within its charter for this group geographic names at the top level as one of the subjects that this particular working group needs to look at. Well, we initially had put that group, that issue, within Work Track 2, which you heard Michael Fleming talking about, the whole reserve names issue. After listening to the community, after listening to input from people like Annabeth and other members of the CCTLDs and the GAC, we too agree that one group is probably the best place to resolve these issues, to have it discussed in one particular group. And therefore, we decided, we being the leadership of this particular PDP, so Avery and myself, along with other members of the leadership team, including the existing work track leaders of work tracks 1 through 4, which you heard giving updates a little earlier in the meeting, all decided that we would create a new work track 5 to deal only with geographic names at the top level, which includes, as one of the subsets, country and territory names. Now, remember, there are additional types of geographic names that need to be considered above and beyond just country and territory names. So that is also within the scope of this new work track. And unlike the other work tracks, 1 through 4, where we have selected leaders exclusively that were already participating in this policy development process, we are opening up work track 5 to see if there are additional volunteers that want to participate in work track 5 and do not have to participate in any of the other work tracks, but also trying to get a co-leader from each of the impacted communities, including one from the government, one from the CCTLDs, one from the at-large, and one from the GNSO. So hopefully, between all 4 of those co-leaders, they will be able to include input, important input, from each of the different stakeholders. So, Caruz, I noticed that you have a follow-up question, so please.
Yes, Jeff, thank you very much for the clarification. I don't mind yourself to address that issue by whom, by GNSO also on support under Work Track 5. But the question is that I don't understand this one from that. It would be difficult to have that one. Okay, I don't know. Maybe in GNSO world, easy to have one from the entire house. In some other, maybe much, much simpler than GNSO, maybe difficult to have one. What do you mean, one person? I don't know. It should have more wider participation, allowing the people to share their knowledge, to share their views to each other. And that one person, no matter how knowledgeable that person would be or how impartial that person would be or how familiar, is still would be biased by his own way of thinking as a human being. I don't think that is correct to have one from here, one from there. I think the best way that you start with the work track 5, address the geographic name, and I would like to answer Robin's question, geographic name is merely and only referred to geographic, but not to religious or sensitive or cultural and so on and so forth. That should be dealt differently. I don't think that we should mix up that situation. But later on, perhaps the most appropriate way, which has been responded up to now, is this cross-community structure. This has been worked very well, cross-community for accountability, cross-community for option, cross-community for this. So this cross-community has no limit for participation, and we listen to everybody if we don't have any problem. If you want to limit it to that five, we'd have difficulty at least in some area, because that person could not represent the views of the entire SOAC that it comes. I don't understand this idea coming from whom. So we should be giving a more liberal and more open participation according to the main purpose of the ICANN, that is inclusive.
Yes.
So I have difficulty with that one totally. Thank you. This is for
question one,
and then I come to the two other questions that I made.
Okay, thanks, Caboose. Yeah, so as you can see in the chat, it's only participation in the actual work track is unlimited. Anyone can participate. It's open to everyone. What we are doing is just appointing one leader from each of the SOs and the ACs. So it's just to have a leadership team for that work track. But the work track is not limited to participants or to one participant. It's unlimited like any other working group or work track. Anyone can participate in the work track that wants to. So we hope to gain, as you said, as many participants as possible to share their experience and their knowledge. So it's just one co-chair or one co-leader from each of the SOs and ACs. So I hope that clarifies. And Caruso, you said you had a follow-up, and then I know, Anne, your hand was up, but I don't know. It seems to be down right now. Caruso, please.
Yes, my second question was that the straw man or straw person or whatever you call them, document which was submitted by subgroup or by something, but not the entire GNSO or the entire group, there has some conditions which found to be not realistic. For instance, if a country wants to protect the geographic names, that country is asked, what is the reason for that? And we have thought that there is no need to ask such a reason. I can give you one example, at least I can give my own country. Suppose that we want to keep Persepolis as protected. Why we have to give justification for that? There is no justification. Justification is the view of the country who requests that, or the entity who requests that. So there are many others that it was mentioned. I don't want to take the time of 90 minutes to go through that. And I think that this straw man or a straw person condition, which were put based on the comments made at the forum, you have the transcript, you have the recording, they need to be reviewed and try to address them appropriately. And if you want to go ahead with that document, if you don't leave it as it is and don't follow it up, I have no problem. But if you follow it, it doesn't work under the condition that were written. That was my second question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Caboose. And just to answer that quickly, yes, the straw person was only drafted by Avery and I, and was not the idea of anyone else. But that is off right now. We are not talking about the straw person. Work track five will not be looking at the straw person specifically. It will be taking up the issue as a whole. And I think the points you raised about the countries and their views towards geographic names, I think is going to be important to express there. But it's not something we need to worry about here, because it's not the straw person, again, was only a tool that was to stimulate discussion during the ICANN 59, which it did. And now it's off the table, as some of us say. It's no longer being considered. So I hope that's okay. Anne, please.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. You two have answered most of my questions. I just had a very specific question again about the resolution itself, which is, where was this resolution passed, and do we have a link to the text of the resolution? I just would like to understand the resolution better. I think every other question I had that you've answered.
Yes, and Annabeth, you want to answer this?
Yes, Annabeth, for the record, yes, that was passed in the council of the cross-community group of or the Conference Territory Names, the CCNSO. No, sorry, the council of the CCNSO on the 20th, and it will be on the website of the CCNSO. But I could certainly send it, the link to it, to all of you. I could send it to you, Jeff, and then you can include it somewhere.
Yeah, Jeff, that would be fantastic. Thank you very much, Annabeth. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, and I think Steve actually posted a link to the resolution if you scroll up in the chat.
Oh, okay.
And there it is again. So
okay.
So that's the link. Just the GNSO Council has not yet decided what to do with the final report of the CCWG on the use of country and territory names. So that will be on the GNSO. I think they talked a little bit about it at the last council meeting, but they will decide what to do with that, I think, either in their August meeting or September. So that the GNSO needs to act on it as well. Okay, any other questions on this before we jump into some of the substance? Okay, seeing none, let's go to the first document of drafting of the drafting teams that we were supposed to set up, but it seems like we have been making a lot of progress as a full working group on some of these issues as opposed to drafting teams. That said, we can address these issues in a drafting team later on or in a subsequent drafting team if we have some good discussions here. So if we can bring up the hearing some beeping here. If we can bring up this document, it's okay. So for those of you that can read it here, you can read it on the screen in Adobe, but there's also a link to the document, and I put in a couple of changes since this PDF was created at that Google Docs link that's in the upper right-hand corner under the agenda. It has the Google Doc link. And so basically what we had talked about on this issue, both in previous discussions, but also in at ICANN 59, was, you know, how do we assess applications in subsequent procedures or subsequent rounds or windows or whatever term we use to call it. I think one of the things I kind of wanted to start with in the discussions. Although there are some differing opinions on what we should do as a steady state, meaning ongoing, you know, whether we do a first come, first serve, or rounds, I think most of the feedback that we've gotten indicates that this very first introduction in 2000 and whatever, whenever we do the next introduction of new GTLDs, I think it's fairly well agreed that that be a, quote, round, meaning that we would collect applications for a period of time and that we would have to have a procedure to deal with string contention, and we would have to go through all of the similar types of evaluations we did in the 2012. I just want to make sure, if everyone is on the same page, that at least the very first introduction of the next group of TLDs should be in the form of a round without talking about what we do after that. So, Cavus, you have your hand raised?
Yes, Jeff. Thank you very much for the document. I have read it carefully, and I think what you're now doing. We are opening a special university course to have a PhD on this issue, spending years and years and years to see how it works. I don't know why we need to go that much in detail of the situations. There has been an issue of 2007. There are some deficiencies, difficulties. Rather than reviewing that and try to remove difficulties, we try to go take a new path, which have complete, which is completely unknown to everybody. We do not know how it will go. For instance, those issues we have discussed. I think it might be good that you try to look at the first thing that we have, the first round, and to identify what are the problems and include those in the same thing. I don't think that we should have a steady application time. It would be problems. I don't think that we should have a first come, first serve for the reason that I have given up two times, and I said that I have sufficient experience for more than 25 years dealing with first come, first serve in other applications, which is similar to what you're doing. So perhaps we should look at the matter to see what are the problems, and rather than going to the new things, we try to have this, but we have another round. This round should take X months. We decide on the X. That should be stopped, and it should be again taken up after Y months or so on and so forth. And in the meantime, we may apply some sort of the, I would say, hybrid applications in order to remove the difficulties. Going to the new path, it takes a lot of time. It would be similar to the work stream, to the first round, because it's completely theory. We don't know what will happen. Perhaps we should try to address the disadvantage or deficiencies, problems of that, but not introducing a new path that is like the steady one, like the first come, first serve, or like a combination of both. We should address the issue differently. What would be the problem that you decide on the second round? Open it for X months, then try to address those within the time that you have, and then open it again and try to address the difficulties and issues. And some of these things that you mentioned as a cons in this document really causing problems, and some of the pros is not really a justification that they are pros. I don't want to go further detail, but I think that please kindly do not upside down what you already have. Try to improve that. You have a building made 10 years ago. Don't demolish the building totally and start a new structure and a new building on something that we don't know. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Caboose. And we'll go through this document on those pros and cons that you were talking about and make sure that, you know, where there are cons, that we can figure out ways to address those. Anne, you're next.
Yes, thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to get clarification on where you are on the decision tree in terms of a consensus. And you were talking about generally agreed that we should proceed with a round as opposed to just a free and open y'all come forever application process. But I'm assuming that that does not actually get down to the level of whether there will be any priority rounds such as for communities or priority rounds for brands or any of the other suggestions that have come up, that we haven't addressed that yet.
Yeah, thanks, Anne. Right, so this is really just to put a stake in the ground to see, you know, how we would start the very next introduction of new GTLDs, but is not getting into issues of priority or contention or any of those issues which are actually being discussed in individual work tracks. So, though I will say that from a number of the other issues that we've discussed on categories, there did not seem to be a large number of supporters for different categories having different rounds. Now, that could change, and we will discuss that again in future weeks. But for now, we are only talking about the overall structure, but not issues of priority or whether we should do a round first for brands or for geos or for communities or something else. That's not what we're talking about.
Just one follow-up question. Would you consider that topic as under the auspices of WorkTrack 3? We've had a fair number of discussions on the issue of, you know, community applications, what they're intended for. I didn't know if, you know, priority – what's the right work track for the issue of priority rounds?
So to the extent that it would involve communities, community priority as a separate round, that's interesting because it's kind of an overlap between work track 3 and an overall issue.
Uh-huh.
An overarching issue. To the extent that priority is being discussed as if community applications, for example, are mixed in with general applications or non-community applications, whether to give those community applications priority over the other ones, that is a work track 3 item. Whether we should do a round only for communities or only for geos or only for brands or only for a particular group, that would be an overarching issue. I understand there's some overlap, obviously, between those issues, you know, like what is a community would have to be an issue in both. But to the extent that I hope that makes sense. To the extent that we're giving a priority over other applications within a particular round, that's a work track 3. To the extent that we're giving any categories their own round, that would be an overarching issue, and that's for us as a full group to discuss, not at the moment, but in subsequent weeks.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. So that clarifies that it's really the plenary that would treat that issue of separate rounds, which I sort of thought was raised by your comment that folks believe that there should be a round. So I assume that that is still on the agenda of the plenary?
Yeah, that topic of categories and whether categories should have special treatment in terms of their own round or a different type of round or a different contract or things like that is still not the contract issue, but the whether there should be separate rounds is an overarching issue for the plenary.
Yeah. Great, thanks. I just want to get that confirmed. Thank you.
Okay, Caboose, please.
Yes, Jeff. I have been working on similar issues for years. You call them pros and cons. We in those entities call them advantages and disadvantages. This is not considered to be very efficient for the following reason. Something which is pros in view of one group, there may be cons in view of other group, and vice versa. So I don't see quite efficient. You go through all of these pros and cons because it comes from ideas of some people, fully respected, but I don't think that it is useful to go through that one by one and to see whether we take it as a pros and as a cons and later on decide on the pros and cons and then on the matter. I suggest that you reconsider your position as a chair or others, and we do not go through these pros and cons one by one for the reason that I have given. Something is pro for you, maybe cons for me. It depends on how you look into the matter and vice versa. While views of everybody is fully respected and observed and to be observed. So I still don't believe that it is efficient to go through all of these many items that you have mentioned. I spent some hours to read all of them. It's very, very difficult sometimes because they're subjective, some of them. There is no real justification to be really pros and cons. And sometimes one pros is mixed up with the cones and vice versa. So I don't know whether you insist to go through this one by one and spend how many sessions to go through that, or you take some simpler approach to see what are the disadvantages or shortcoming of the existing round or the first round not existing and try to address that. rather than going through this very voluminous table. I am at your disposal, but that is, I have to share views with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Well, let's start with what we've called the requirements. And these are, again, I hope requirements is the right word, but it's really some principles that we all, whatever solution we come up with, we should test against these requirements. So if you look at the first bullet point under the requirements, we say that there must be clarity and predictability about how and when applications can be applied for in the future. Pretty non-controversial statement, but I think whatever solution we come up with should meet that requirement. Okay, I'm seeing a check mark, not seeing any hands raised on that one. Seems pretty logical. The second one, and again, not everyone necessarily has to, or not everyone, it's possible that some people may not agree with the second one, but it seemed to come out of our discussions, that there must not be undefined gaps between the processing of applications to the acceptance of additional applications. So, for example, the 2012 applicant guidebook, although it said that a subsequent round should start within a year after accepting or after the application window in the 2012 round closed, that didn't happen. And there are a number of people that want to make sure that we do not get into another situation where we run around or we conduct a round, and then it takes us 8 years or 7 or 8 years to get into a subsequent round or subsequent application window. So many people in the group felt like we should not just do a round, have a break, and then whenever we get to the next round, do the next round. So, Caboose, your thoughts on that?
Jeff, is it possible that we have that determination that, for instance, between the second round, if there is a different round, and the third round should be X year, could we define that? Because we don't know how many applications will come. We don't know how much they are conflicting with each other. On the other hand, about the delegations, people say that the maximum number or the number, I don't know whether it was maximum, whether it was minimum, is 1,000. And then what happened in the for the remaining? Suppose that there are 10,000 applications, and we say that the next round should start 2 years after the 10,000 has been treated. If 10,000 never treated, so that 2 years was meaningless. So is it possible to say that, or we should have some relative things, or we should put some conditions that the second round start after X percent of the round were successfully completed, or after Y percent were delegated, and so on and so forth, but not when everything was treated, because you may not be able to treat that in that period, whatever period we put. But having said that, when we have this first round, we had no experience at all that 1 year was not meaningful at all, because we know that doesn't happen, didn't happen at all. 2012, and we may start in 2019 or 2020, 9 years. Instead of 1 year or 8 years. So I don't think that it should be definitively determined a period, the clarity. Perhaps it should qualification and also some conditions should be clear or determined, clear period by which the subsequent round, if there is a round, could be started. However, should not be started, should be started if X percent of the first round of has been implemented or delegated. So we should be some qualification. Otherwise, whatever figure we put may be in one side or the other side not applicable. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Kabir. So let me throw that question out to the group, see if anyone else wants to talk on this issue. Is it possible, Kabir asked a question, basically saying, is it possible to even define some sort of parameter in between rounds that we could put into the next version of the guidebook based on a certain set of criteria? What do people think? Is it possible? Can we do it? Or is it a fool's exercise to put something into the guidebook that says we start the next window 6 months after we close? I know that people have thoughts on this issue because a lot of people came forward in their comments early on and said that we don't want undefined gaps and we want certainty. I'm going to go to Jamie first. Caboose, I know your hand's up first, but I want to see if we can hear from some other people. So, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm not sure I have an answer to the question, Jeff, but I pose another question. Does there still need to be additional reviews done between each of the rounds? Because if so, will that add a layer of complexity to being able to have a specific definition or timeline to the rounds?
Jamie, thanks. This is Jeff. Good question. I think the feedback that this group had gotten on the overarching issues, when we go back to community comment number one, was that it was not desirable to have full-scale reviews in between every round, but to deal with issues as they came up. But that should not stall the next round unless it was of such an emergency level or so substantial that we could not continue until we solved that issue. But in general, the comments that we had gotten back was that no, that we would not do separate periods of reviews like this one. Again, that could change. That's not a consensus finding. That was just the sense of the comments that we got back in CC1. Caboose, please.
Yes, I think my thought was more or less along the line of what Jenny said. We could fix a period each year, but we should also put a provision that at some point of time during that period, we need to review the situation and decide to make necessary improvements, not to be stuck to that. Because it may happen that that predetermined period may not work after some time, and there should be a need to just review that to see whether that was correct or based on the experience that gained during the application period of that each year, we review that and try to modify that. If you put that, that may be correct. What I'm saying is that we need to have a concept of trial and effort to correct the situation, but not if you decide on 5 years, you continue to have difficulties until that 5 years expires, the similar that we have now. So if you have that, in other way, I want a procedure, more or less a dynamic procedure rather than a static procedure. This dynamic procedure has been worked also elsewhere. I have experience in other areas that we put a dynamic arrangement, and this dynamic arrangement has responded to the evolving situations, not to have a sort of stagnation. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. I have Ann in the queue, and then before I just get to Ann, I know there are other people in this, not to put people on the spot, and I won't, but, you know, I know registries, for example, and registrars have come out with comments saying that there should be shouldn't necessarily be stopped by reviews. I know that those are comments in CC1. If anyone wants to speak up, now's your time. It seems like we're hearing from just a few people. Ann, please.
Yes, just very quickly, Jeff, I think that the answer to that question of predictability and when we can assume that there will be another round or another opening depends also on the ability to process applications. There were two things discussed in the face-to-face in Joburg. One was the question of, well, how many, you know, TLDs can we have out there accepting applications at the same time, and so that was the whole issue of 1,000, and is that number the same or different? And then Michele brought up the fact that there's a staff question. You know, how many qualified people are there to process applications? So I think that the ability to incorporate what we're talking about a predictability of being able to continue to accept applications at certain times, we have to factor in those two things, the number of TLDs that can be processed, technically, and the number of TLDs that experienced qualified staff can process, if there's any way to predict those numbers. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And it seems like, good, Martin's got his hand raised as well. It seems like we almost have a chicken and egg problem, right? You know, some people say, well, exactly what you said, right, Anne, that we can't really decide how we can, when we can have the next round, so we know how fast they can be processed. And then other people are saying, well, processing applications may just be a function of money and resources up to a certain point, and that ICANN, as long as it gets in additional money, should be able to have a plan to scale up in cases where there are more applications than needed. But if
I wasn't personally saying that you can't do that, but I also, it's Anne again, I do have a comment on the issue of it's just a question of money. I don't think that hiring a bunch of inexperienced staff with money addresses the question of application evaluation. I think we have to somehow manage this there should be a 5-year plan somehow toward, what are our annual operating goals? It shouldn't be, oh, wow, we got so many applications, we got to staff up immediately, and nobody really knows the organization internally or knows how to evaluate applications, because that's sloppy. Not just a question of money. I think Michele made a really good point. Thank you.
Sure, Anne, thanks. And just to finish out mine, then I'll go to Martin. It was more a question of scalability, right? ICANN needs to have, just like a registry, I'll go back to my registry days, registries like ICANN need to plan to scale. And at some point, there's obviously a maximum, but there should be a plan to scale with additional resources. So a registry doesn't know, for example, whether it's going to have one registration or 10 million registrations at its outset. But it needs to plan on the ability to scale and have a concrete plan, and that's what registries are evaluated against. At some point, ICANN will also need to have a plan, like you said, and the plan needs to be able to scale up to a certain maximum. What that maximum is, we don't know at this point, and perhaps that's a good question for Trang and for ICANN staff. But, I think we almost have a chicken and egg problem in the sense of, how many can apply? Well, I don't know how many can you process. We need to solve for one of those factors in the equation or have a very good plan to scale in case one of the assumptions is exceeded. But let me go to Martin.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you. It's Martin Sutton here. Just want to pick up on this point because I think this is an important one that you've tabled today, which is more or less one of the first in the critical path to get everything else running. The reason I say that is not only for us to decide what the recommendation should be in the way that the next phase works, but also to enable ICANN, so we've already referred to that in terms of the resources that may be required. This is going to be really important for them as a decision or recommendation that they can see going through early on to make all the evaluations for how they would support the process. So I have a question on the back of that, is that do we have an idea of what are the real critical decisions or recommendations that we as a group should be looking at that creates a sort of sequence, if you like, of decisions that will put this on the right path? Because one of my concerns here is that we've got a lot of questions, we've got a lot of discussions going, but without setting out some of these recommendations and pushing them through early on, everything's just going to end up delayed until the report goes out early next year. So just as a matter of interest, is there any comments regarding that?
Yeah, thanks, Martin. This is Jeff. This was one of the fundamental issues that ICANN staff had. Trang sent an email probably a couple weeks before ICANN 59, that, or maybe it was a week before, that had a, what were items on the critical path? One of them was this very issue. This was like the most important issue. Are we going to assess them in rounds? Are we going to do first come, first serve? How often are we going to do it? This will determine what their plan looks like. And I think, as Trang says in the comments, the application volume has a broad impact, certainly on ICANN org, but also my community. For example, the GAC early warning process, the application comment period, rejection process. Right, so this has got a lot of impact. This very question, we need to decide from a policy matter how we want to do it, and then work from there. If it can't be done or it's not feasible, then ICANN staff will come back to us and they will say to us, look, we can't do it that way. We understand that's the way you want it. That's your preference, but we need to modify it. I think we need to put a stake in the ground and say, this is the way we want to do it. Outside of all other constraints, this is our preferred way. And then let ICANN staff come back to us and say, we can't do it for these reasons, and then we either try to solve for those reasons or we revise our preference. But I do agree that we need to, and the time is coming near, that we need to at least put a stake in the ground so that others can think about it. So if we say, for example, and I'm not saying this is what we're going to say, but if we said, yes, we are going to do it in rounds, but we are going to have one round per year, the open for 3 months out of the year, and then the rest of the year, calendar year, is evaluations, and then the next calendar year on January 1, we start the next round. If that's our recommendation and our preference, we need to put that in here so that we can have ICANN and the other groups and the other work tracks think about all of the implications. But like Martin said, if we just keep it as an open question, then this particular question will slow down the consideration of all the other questions that need to think about this issue. So, Martin, please.
Hi, Jeff. Sorry, you actually just covered it off in the last sentence. I think it is. This has a consequence, a knock-on effect for all the other questions that we may be deliberating over in the variety of work tracks. So, hence, I think this is a valuable focus of our time to put this out and to come to an agreement on what this recommendation should be. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Martin. Any other questions, comments? Okay, so then going back to the requirements, Caboose, quick comment, and then I want to go on to the requirements. Caboose, please.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Caboose. Yes, we can hear you.
I'll not be on top of the hour, 6:30. Is the local time here, and then 1.5 hours is finished, no?
Beyond
1.5 hours?
Yes, you are correct. I totally forgot and lost track of time. Thank you very much. Well, it seems like we only got to this first issue. Thanks, Caruth. Thanks, Steve, for reminding me. But I think these are important questions, and I really want to pick this up on the list on getting some answers to this question, because this will drive a lot of other decisions. So let's continue with discussions on the list, and then let's move forward, and we'll do the other item that we have in here the next time on a full call. So I just lost my Adobe connection. Oh, there we go. Is there any other remarks, Steve, anything I'm forgetting before we end the call? Okay, don't believe so. All right. Thank you, everyone. Oh, Anne, you have a last comment? Anne?
Sorry, help look at history. How many applications have we been able to process per year? Presumably we can do it faster going forward, but just trying to understand what workload we've been able to handle would be really good.
Okay, thanks. That's a good action item for staff, and that's a good one to close on. Thank you, everyone, for coming out, and thanks for reminding me of the time, and talk to you all in a couple weeks. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Operator, please stop the recording and disconnect the remaining lines. The meeting has been adjourned. Have a great day, everyone.